Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu Ben Yosef and Chana Bas Shmuel Halevi.
Sota Daf Lamed He. Our Gemara describes the particularly grotesque death that the Meraglim suffered as a result of their Averos. There's an interesting line in the Bahag, which is actually brought in the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha. The Bahag is making a list of all the days which are the Tainas HaTzadikim, the days which a person who feels he's a Baal Nefesh, who feels that when there is a Tzara that happened at Klal Yisrael on that day, it's proper for him to fast. The Bahag makes a list of these days, most of which include days in which some of the Nevi'im or Tzadikim died. And interestingly enough, the Bahag includes on his list that B'Shiva Be'elol Mesu Motzi Dibas Ha'aretz. One of the days which is a Tainas HaTzadikim that it's Roy to fast on, to commemorate the tzara that happened, is on the 7th of Elul, because this is the day in which those who spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael died. And the pashast in the Bahag is that he's referring to the Meraglim. Now, the Bahag seems to be tamua for two reasons. First of all, l'chora, the pashast of the Psukim and Parashat Shlach would indicate that the Meraglim died immediately after Moshe begged Hashem for slicha following the Chida Meraglim, and Hashem granted it and told him that they'll be in the Midbar for 40 years. And he said that the Eidara, that the Meraglim did the Chet, will die. And the Pasha says they died immediately. So how can the Bahag say that the day in which the death of the Meraglim transpired was on Shiva Be'el and not on Tisha B'Av, as Agamar tells us that the Meraglim came back on Erev Tisha B'Av, and the day that they cried was on Tisha B'Av? That's the first question, the Bahag. And the second question is, how can the Bahag say that this is a day of Atzara, that we have to a person should fast if he feels the need to commemorate the tzara that happened the day that the Meraglim died? On the contrary, ba'avod rishayim rina, when rishayim die, we rejoice and are happy. L'chor, this is not a day to fast, but it's a day to rejoice in that we see the rishayim of the Meraglim met their fate and did not live out to see the rest of the time in the Midbar. So l'chor, how can the Mahag say this is one of the tainest tzaddikim? Both these questions are asked by the Mefarshim. The first question about the date is asked by the Truvas Harash in Klal Yud Gimel. He brings this Bahag, and he's Mitameh Ma'od. He says, L'char, if you look in the Pesukim, they died Pashas on Tisha B'Av. And he's so bothered. He says, Dvarav Temuim V'Shema Motzi Diba Acherim. Maybe the Bahag was not referring to the Meraglim, but rather he was referring to some other Motzi Diba on the Aretz that we're not aware of. And to this, the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kuf Pei in Aruch Chaim responds, it could be that this death that the Meraglim suffer, that their tongues came out of their mouth and there was tulaim coming out of their tongues into their stomach. This was something which went on for a month, went on from Tisha B'Av until Shiva Be'elul, and they only finally demised on Shiva Be'elul, and that's why the Bahag said that their death only occurred on Shiva Be'elul. The Bach says similarly that perhaps even though they received their, they were told they're going to have an onesh on Tisha B'Av, the onesh actually only happened on Shiva Be'elul. So that's as far as first question. Now, the other question, though, is more bothersome. How can the Bahag say this is a day to be koveya as one of the Tainas HaTzadikim, because it's a Yom Tzara, L'chora, we should say, Ba'avod Rishon Rina. This, in fact, is asked by the Beis Yosef. He asks this question there in Siman Tov Kuf Pei. And he writes there that in the Chanami, we're not, the inyan of the fast that the Bahag had in mind over there was not because of the etzem death of the Meraglim. Certainly, their etzem death, they weren't Tzadikim, and this would not be grounds to fast, but rather, Beis Yosef writes, "B'nei shel zochu shetiskabel tshuvasam mitztarinon demistam shava v'lo niskablu." Mistama, once the Meraglim were told of the fate that they were going to have to meet, that they were going to die, mistama they attempted to do tshuva, and their tshuva kanir was not miskabel. And the Beis Yosef says, "We have a tsar. We feel the yom tsar on the fact that their tshuva was not miskabel." Now, the Teretz of Beis Yosef needs more beer, and Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva Negros Moshe is marich to explain what Beis Yosef has in mind. He explains that really, not every Mises HaTzadikim deserves a tainus. We see the Bahag picked out certain ones, which we don't exactly know why, Rav Moshe writes, but there are certain days of the Tzadikim who died in which it was appropriate to be kover on those days of tainus. Rav Moshe then notes, at this being the case, L'chari, even if Hashem would have been mekabel their Tshuva, it still would not be a reason to fast, even if they were b'chlal tzadikim after the tshuva, but it's still not enough of a reason to fast on this day, simply because the Bala tshuva, the Meraglim, died. Rather, Beis Yosef has something else completely in mind, that this is a reminder to us that we see the koach hachet and the difficulty in doing tshuva. For us to know that there are some chatoim which it's so hard to do tshuva for, and the onesh is so chamor that Hashem is not willing to listen to our tshuva, and he will take his vengeance no matter what. And this is something which wakes us up. This is something which is a wake-up call to be aware of where we're holding in our avodas Hashem and to have a cheshbon of tshuva all the time. And therefore, the fast that the Bahag had in mind was a fast of a reminder, a fast which brings towards our own hakara, our own tshuva, about how we have to realize how nora the koach hachet is and how difficult it is sometimes to achieve tshuva. And he also notes that l'chor we find the raglam, as we noted in earlier shiurim, were originally anoshim tzaddikim, were anoshim chashuvim, anoshim gedolim. And even though the Rechotin, and Moshe there, writes very strongly about the seriousness, the severity of their chet, they were kofar be'ikr, they were over on even Korov Lavodazar, the Argamar takes note that they were kofar and Hashem. But still, since they were anoshim gedolim, and when they came to do tshuva, they had the opportunity to return back to that godless, to the chashivis that they had, and still, the tshuva is not niskabel. So that l'chora is a warning sign for us that we who are not noshim gedolim, we don't even have that godless in us, even in potential. So we have to be very careful about how we do tshuva. And we should make sure it's a tshuva shlema and not to take for granted that we'll be able to do tshuva even on our chatoyim. That's what Moshe says. That's the covenant of the Beis Yosef. That's what the Behag meant when he said that it's a tainus for Yom Tzara, because it's a day which is a wake-up call for us to remember and realize how difficult it is to overcome chet and how challenging it is to achieve tshuva shlema. The Bach over there in Or Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Pei offers an alternative answer to this question. How can we koveya a day of tainus and the day of the death of the Meraglim, l'chor, it's a day of simcha? The Bach says that what the Bach really meant is that it's not because of the Misa of the Meraglim, but because on that day it is the reminder that we were suffered in the Midbar for 40 years as a result of the Chet that we committed in conjunction with the Chet of Meraglim. And that Gezerah was in fact a Tzara Gadola for the Bnei Yisrael that they had to die in the Midbar. And therefore it is Miderech Shuvah for us to remind ourselves of that Tzara Gadola that we had on those days by taking the day that the Meraglim died and being koveyed as a Tainus. Ramosha notes in the Shuvah there that the Beis Yosef doesn't necessarily argue with the Bach. It could be that would be a good enough justification for the Tainus to remind ourselves of the Tzara Gadola that Bnei Yisrael had in the Midbar. Beis Yosef was still bothered. Why are we koveying on the day of the date of the Meraglim? That day is not the appropriate day. We should kovei that day of Tisha B'Av, which certainly is. That is one of the things we fast on Tisha B'Av. Why did we pick a separate day on the date of the death of the Meraglim? That day is the day of Simcha, because B'Avod of Rasham Rina. So that Beis Yosef added on that in addition to reminding ourselves of the Tzara Gadola of the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, that they got the Gzeira of not coming to Eretz Yisrael and having to spend 40 years in the Midbar. In addition to that, we also take note that it should be hisoros for us to fast, to remind ourselves how difficult it is to do tshuva. As Rav Moshe explained, that's what the Beis Yosef meant. We're mitzare that the tshuva of the Meraglim is not niskabel, and we should learn a lesson for our own lives that to realize the koach of the chet and how difficult it is to do a tshuva shlema. The Gemara towards the bottom of Amud Aleph talks about the episode of Peretz Uzza, in which David HaMelech apparently made a mistake and thought that the Aron HaKodesh may be transferred on an agola and not on the ksifayim of people carrying it. And the Gemara says that David was nenash with this tragedy of Peretz Be'uza because he described the Torah Zemiros, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Zemiros ha'ilu chukecha. And therefore Hashem said to David, if you're going to call the Divrei Torah Zemiros, I'm going to be machshel you even in something which Tinoko shel Beis Rabban know. And the two issues we like to explore in the Gemara here, first of all, what exactly was the chet of David? What exactly did David mean by calling the Divrei Torah Zemiros? And what exactly did Hashem find fault with this appellation David gave to the Divrei Torah? And second of all, the mistake that David made. How could David make such a mistake? What was David thinking to assume that the Aron could be transferred not on the Kasef? As the Gemara says, it's something even Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban know. And we'd like to see if these two issues can be connected and there's a common denominator between them. So as far as the first question, what did David mean by calling the Torah Zemiros, and what was the chet in that? So the Marsha here in the Chidush HaGadol writes that a zemer, a song, is something which people sing for a short amount of time. They enjoy it for the time that they're singing it, and then they forget about it. And that is not something which is appropriate to call Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah has to be something from which there is no shikha, from which a person is not Mesiach Das, from which a person does not leave his mind. And therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, because David referred to the Divrei Torah as Zemiros, something which one easily forgets and leaves, therefore David was punished with forgetting something which was obvious in Divrei Torah, and he was not able to recall the Divrei Torah when it was came time to know them. And that's what the Gemara brings in the Pasuk in Mishle. About Divrei Torah, it says, that a person needs to concentrate all the time on Divrei Torah, keep them in his mind, and not have Hesech Hadas from them, otherwise they will escape from him. That's the Marsha's beer in the Gemara here in the Chedushei Agados. I saw an interesting addition from Rav Shach Zatzal in the Hakdama to the Sefer Avri Ezri and the Chalik of Sefer Hafla and Zrayim. There he writes that it's true that the Marsha's Pshat has validity, that if we refer to Torah as Zemiros in the sense of something which is light and easy, which we enjoy for a momentary period, and then we forget about it, that's a negative connotation of Zemiros for Divrei Torah. But Hare David HaMelech did write it in Tehillim, and it is seen as a Shevach as well, the Divrei Torah, to be called Zemiros. What is the positive light of Zemiros, which David HaMelech had in mind when he was calling Divrei Torah Zemiros? So he writes there that Zemiros also has the connotation of something which is enjoyable, something which someone tries to find pleasure in, and something he can get lost in, and find his an enjoyable experience in. And that is certainly something which is appropriate to look at Divrei Torah in that light. That's something which, first of all, something that one finds pleasant and enjoyable, and also that one wants more of. If the person approaches Divrei Torah with the right perspective, with the right covered rosh, so then referring to Divrei Torah as a mirror, something which is brings one in and makes them want more, that's certainly a positive thing. And therefore, there are really two sides of the coin of Zemiros. If the Zemer is, as our Gemara seems to be referring to it, as something which is simply nice and easy, and which is fleeting, only momentarily hana, that's not the right way to approach the Divrei Torah. But if a Zemer, the Divrei Torah is seen as a Zemer, which is enjoyable and pleasant, and pulls a person in to want to have more and more, then that is, in fact, a positive thing which can be utilized in our approach to the Divrei Torah. That's the addition that Rav Shach has. And it's very geschmack, l'fi this havana, because the Rebbe Kvi Eger and the Gilei Nashas here, as well as other Mefarshim, referred to many times in Divrei Chazal, in which we see that Divrei Torah are referred to as Zemiros, and there does not seem to be at all a negative appellation, but rather a shvach of Divrei Torah that they're called Zemiros. L'fi this havana, this added havana of Rav Shach, it makes a lot of sense that there is one connotation of Zemiros which is negative. That's what our Gemara is referring to. That opens one up to shichacha, as what happened to David HaMelech, because he thinks of Divrei Torah simply as Zemira, something which is fleeting and momentary. But then there's a positive connotation to Zemira, something which is enjoyable and pleasant, and pulls one in to want more and more. And that's something which we find in Chazal, Meshabeach Divrei Torah, when one looks at them as a Zemira in this light. Now, regarding the second question, what was the mistake of David in thinking that he could carry the Aron on the Agola and not on the Ksafayim of the Bnei Levi? So, a few Mefarshim offer different Mahalchim. The Radak, commenting in Sefer Shmuel, where this story with Peretz Uzzah is recorded, he says that the mistake of David HaMelech was that he thought that only in the Midbar, where the Aron was being transported together with the rest of the Mishkan, there, in order to make a heker, to draw distinction so that we would see the difference between the Klei HaKodesh of the Kelim of the Aron and the other Kelim, as opposed to the rest of the Olam Moed, there was an insistence that Torah had that Dafka, the Bnei Levi, should carry the Kelim on their shoulders in order to show the special Kedusha of the Kelim. But in this instance of David HaMelech, where all it was bringing up was the Aron to Yerushalayim and nothing else, then it was sufficient to carry the Aron as well on the Agola. Since there was no heker that needed to be drawn between the Aron and the rest of the Olmoid, then there was no need to put it on the Ksefayim. It was enough to put it on the Agola. That's the Pshat of the Radak and the mistake of David HaMelech. But there's a different Mahalach, which the Radvaz and Hochas Klei HaMikdash and the Merumei Sode from the Netziv in our Sugya write. And that is, they say that David HaMelech had a Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'avodas ha-kodesh aleim b'kosef yisou, that the kelim need to be carried by the Bnei Levi, and they should be carried on the shoulders. So the havana that David HaMelech had in the Pasuk was, according to the Radvaz and the Netziv, was that if you're using Bnei Levi to carry the Aron and the other kelim, if you are carrying it through people, then they must carry it on their shoulders. They can't use any other often of carrying it in order to transport it in the using their bodies. But if you don't want to use people, you instead want to put it on a Agola, that's perfectly fine. It's only a din when you decide to carry it with people. It has to be done through a Bnei Levi, and it has to be done on their shoulders. But if one would decide to do it through an Agola or through any other means, that would be perfectly beseder. That was the mistake of David HaMelech. Now, the Merumei Sode from the Netziv explains beautifully the connection between that which David said that Divrei Torah called Zemiros And this mistake that he had in the pasuk, to read the pasuk telling us that it would be enough to put the Aron or the other kelim on Nagala if one did not want to put it on people. Only if he wanted to put it on people, did it have to be on their shoulders. But if one wanted to put it on Nagala, that would be okay. The connection between that and the chait of calling Devei Torah Zemiros. And then Tziv explains that this mistake of David, that he wasn't medaktik yafeh in the pasuk to learn out that not only did the Torah require that if one puts it on the Levim, they must put it on their shoulders, but also there's a separate halacha that it must be on the Levim no matter what, and he cannot put it on the Nagala. That's what is a mistake of Zmir's Hayli Chukecha. Chukecha, he says, refers to drashas. Chukecha is the way in which the Torah dictates to us how to darshan psukim. That's the chukim, which the Torah is moser to us as to how to understand the psukim. And David said, Zmir's Hayli Chukecha, that the chukecha, the way to darshan, comes easily to me. When I read the pasuk, I see very easily the drashas involved. And that, Kadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing him and says that no, hisif bo ve'enenu, that if you're not some lave to all the Yidukim in the Pasuk, you'll miss the drasha. And that's what happened to David over here. He only dashed in the Pasuk of Bakasif Yisoh. He thought that whenever you carry, it has to be carried on the Kasif. But he wasn't medaktik. It says, Avodas HaKodesh Aleihem. It has to, in addition to be Bakasif Yisoh, it also has to be Aleihem. It must be on the Levim no matter what. So that extra drasha from the word Aleihem that in Siv says, David missed. David, because he said, Zmir's Hayli Chukecha, because the drushas came to him very easily, and he saw them as soon as he saw the pasuk, he wasn't ma'amek, then he lost it. His ifbo ve'enenu, once you lift your eyes from it for a second, you lose the drasha. And that was a mistake, that's a connection between the mistake of calling it Zmir's Hayli Chukecha and misdarshaning the pasuk. The lack of diktuk in the krat and not see all the drushas which are passing out of the pasuk, that's a result of seeing the drushas only as Zmiros and not being medaktik them from the proper covered rosh. That was a mistake David made, not to realize in addition to having to carry the Aron on a kasev when one decides to carry it on people, also there's another din that it also must be carried ideal avim and not on a wagon. So to sum up the episode over here of Peretz Be'uzah and Ar Gemara, we see, first of all, the Mefarshim say that the Zmiros of David was that he saw something which is only momentary, something which leads to Shikha, that's what Marsha says. And Rav Shach points out that even though we do find out sometimes Zmiros are referred to as a positive way of looking at Devei Torah, it's only because the Zmiros which are enjoyable and pleasant and lead one to want more, but Zmiros which are only fleeting and momentary and something which comes very easily to a person, that's not a positive way of looking at the Devei Torah. The mistake of David, we saw the Radak said on the one hand, was the pshat that he thought only in the Midbar, where you're carrying the Aron of the other Ol Moed, you need to have a kosef of the Levim, but not in the Eretz Yisrael, where there was only the Aron, not the rest. On the other hand, we saw the Radvaz, and the Netziv say that David's mistake was that he thought that there's only a din to carry it on shoulders one is using people, but if one uses an agola, it's perfectly okay. And Netziv explains the connection between calling Devei Torah Zemiros and the mistake that David forgot, this separate drasha, the second drasha, that it also must be carried by Levim. That's because he said, Zemiros Hayli Chukecha, that the drasha of the pasuk was something that came easily to him. He wasn't medaktik to find all the drashas in the pasuk. And that the Gemara comments, Hisif Enecha Boveinenu, that one leads to Shichav, he does not take the Devei Torah seriously enough to be medaktik in all the angles of the drashos. And that's why David was nichshol in not chapping the second drasha of the pasuk, that not only must it be carried on the kasef, but also must be carried by the Levim in any event. The Gemara Amud Beis relates the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to how the Bnei Yisrael wrote the Torah on the Mizbeach in Har Eval. Rabbi Yehuda says that they wrote the Torah and then put Sid on top of it. And Rabbi Shimon says that no, the Torah is written on top of the Sid. And Rabbi Shimon's raya to the Shita and his taina against Rabbi Yehuda is that Ladivir Rabbi Yehuda heich lamdu umo shel oso azman Torah. And as Rashi explains, the Dimrasul heich, that the whole purpose of having the Torah written in this instance in the Shivim Lashonos was so that the umo sa'olam in the vicinity would be able to come and learn Torah, and they shouldn't have a pischon peh, that if they would have been given the Torah, they also would have followed Bnei Israel, and therefore there was an agenda, there was an inyan to make sure that it would be available for them to learn. And the Rabbi Shimon says it must have been that the Devei Torah were written on top of the Sid. Now, in the Hagos Marat Chios, in the back of the Gemara, he's very bothered. Hare, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that it is usher to be moser Devei Torah to Goyim. The Gemara Darshan for Apostolic, it says, a Magi Devar of Yaakov, that Hashem only told his Devei Torah to Yaakov, to Bnei Israel, and Mishpatim Bal Yudom, and we don't have the right to give the Himos or Divrei Torah, any of the Mishpatim of Hashem, to non-Jews. How can our Gemara say that an agenda to actually give the Torah over and make it well known and publicized to the Ummah Solom as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Tes says that a goy she'osek b'Torah is chayiv misa. So both mitzad, our responsibility to not be moser the Torah to them, and as well as they themselves, they have themselves a prohibition to learn Torah. So from both sides, there seems to be a big mania from having goyim have any shaychus to Torah. How can it be that our Gemara is saying that there was an agenda, in fact, to give them the Torah? So we could say this was a hayra asha, and the Maariv Chiyus mentions this possibility that because at this time when Bnei Israel entered Eretz Israel, then there was an inyan to dafka show the Ummah Olam who this Ummah was, the special Divrei Torah, the special Kabbalah we had from Hashem, that they would see who they're up against. So then it was a hayra asha, an exception made. But there's another mahalach, which the Maariv Chiyus and other achronim mention, and that is that there's a difference in this iser of being moser Divrei Torah to Goyim, as well as the Isser of Goyim being Osik in Torah, between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. The entire Isser of being Moser Divrei Torah to Goyim, says the Maariv Chiyus and other Achronim, and as well as the Isser of a Goy being Osik by Torah, only relates to Torah Shebalpeh. That's something which is reserved and special only for Bnei Israel. But the written Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, is also Shayach to the Ummah Olam. Some Achronim make mention, we see this already, this idea that the Medrash tells us Hashem went around to all the Ummah Olam and offered them the Torah before Matan Torah for Maimon Har Sinai, and that they say refer to the Torah Shebichsav, that they also have a hand in the Torah Shebichsav. We can understand this difference better in two ways. There are two mahalchim which we find in the Achronim to explain the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, and it'll be going to be based on exactly the time why it is that the Hashem didn't want us, that we should be mostly Divrei Torah to Goyim, and as well why it is prohibited for Goyim to study Torah. The Maariv Chiyus himself refers to the Medrash, it's actually Rishalmi in several places, and Medrash Tanchuma as well, in Parashas Kisisa, which says that the Iker reason that Hashem didn't want to write down Torah Shebichsav Shebalpeh, he wanted to keep it in oral fashion and have it something that only Bnei Yisrael would have shaykhis to, was so that Ummah Olam would not be able to get their hands on it, would not be able to study it, and then claim that they're just like Yisrael. They have the same level of Iyun and Torah as Bnei Yisrael have, because they also have the Torah Shebalpeh, which would be written down. So that's why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he wants to keep the Torah Shebalpeh in oral fashion, that only those who are shaykhis to the Mesorah, those who were Makabal from a Rebbe, those who have Shaychas to Torah Misinai, and from the Kabbalah Moshe Rabbeinu, only they would be able to have a relationship with Hashem. And the Gemara Darshans in the Gittin, that Rov Torasa, that the most of the Torah was given as a bris to Bnei Israel, and that's the Torah Sheba Alpeh, which is reserved only for us as a special covenant with Hashem, because it's only through the Mesorah that we have Talmud from his Rebbe, all the way back to Sinai, that we have this Kabbalah directly from Hashem to Moshe, all the way down through the Mesiras HaTorah, that we are able to tap into Torah Shebalpeh. I suppose the Torah Shebichsav, which is written in anyone who is able to understand the language, and certainly once it's translated as well, can have Shaychas to Torah Shebichsav. That's not something which expresses a special bris between us and Hashem. So then, there we see very nicely, says the Maariv Chiyus, the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh is the thing that expresses our special and unique relationship with Hashem. That's the bris. The bris was nichras, be'ikr, and be'etzem on the Torah Shebalpeh. That's where we have most shaychas to Hashem. Whereas Torah Shebichsav is something which be'etzem, anyone who can read it, can study the written Torah, can have shaychas to, and therefore the prohibition of handing Torah over to Goyim didn't apply to Torah Shebichsav, and that's what our Gemara as well was discussing. It was writing down the Sefer Torah, there was Torah Shebichsav, and that's why the Maariv Chiyus explains there'd be no problem of being most of the Divrei Torah of Torah Shebichsav to non-Jews. Another mahalach we find in Achronim is found in the Trubis Yehuda Yale in Simon Dalad. He also says this chilek that the Maariv Chiyus tries to draw between Torah Shebalpeh and Torah Shebichsav, but he explains it in a different ofen. He's medayik the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says that the lashon of the Gemara there, that a goy may not learn Torah, otherwise he's chayav misa, the lashon of the Gemara is goy she'osak b'Torah, that he toiled in Torah. And we're familiar with the Taz, the famous words of the Taz in Or HaChaim Siman Mem Zayin. There he explains the nusach of the Birkas HaTorah that we say every morning, La'asuk b'divrei Torah. The Taz says it doesn't just simply mean to read the words and to study them, but it means to be mis'amik in them, to attempt to get a deep understanding and to work hard, to toil, and to put all our efforts in to understand the Divrei Torah. Says the Yud Yale, only that form of Iyan b'Torah is what is prohibited for a goy. That's the lashon of the Gemara, goy she'osak b'Torah chayiv misa. And that's most matim, the Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebichsav. So what you see is what you get. You have the words, the scriptures themselves, and the simple translation of the words, that's all there is. If without Torah Shebal Peh, there's nothing behind it. It's simply the simple translation. It could even be simple, a story that one could tell. But Torah Shebal Peh opens up new worlds. It opens up all the drushos. It opens up all the Yergibo mitos. It opens up all the Kabbalahs Chazal had based on the psukim that the psukim are developed and made into entire halachos and entire parashas of mitzvos. And all that is Esek HaTorah. All that is the deepening of our understanding of the Torah Shebichsav. And therefore, the chiluk is very nice. A guy has no shaychus to Torah Shebal Peh, which is Esek HaTorah, but he has the ability to read the Torah, understand on a simple level. That's Torah Shebichsav. Only the Esek HaTorah, that was a special thing Hashem wanted to preserve for us, that we should be misamik and put our entire beings and our entire minds into submerge it into Divrei Torah. That's the Esek HaTorah, which is unique to Torah Shebal Peh, but Torah Shebichsav, that there could have been a shaychus that goyim can acquire. Tumor Ha'aris in this matter, in the Hagos on the Trivus Yudayala from the Shaul Umeshiv, from Yosef Shaul Nathanson, he is Metameh on the Yudayala. He says that the Pashas of the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Ches, and as well Tos over there is Mashma to him, that the Isser of being most Divrei Torah to the Goyim is not only relegated to Torah Shebal Peh, it's also expensive Torah Shebichsav, and therefore he's Doche, the Hatsa'ah of the Yudayala to be machalik between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. However, I did find in the Truvas Meshev Dover from the Netziv in Chelek Bey, Simon Ayin Zayin, he, in fact, does defend this chilek between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav, and he's doche the Raya from the Gemara of Akam and Daf Lamed Ches. He says, in fact, the opposite is true. On the contrary, there's a Raya from that Gemara that there is a chilek between Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. He's medayik Lashon Gemara there. Also, there is a Raya Lechora from the Rishonim to the chilek that the Yehudayala and the Maratzchias makes from the Rabbeinu Gershom in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph. There the Gemara brings a brisa that says that if someone wants to open up a school for children, Tinoga Shal Beis Rabban, in a certain Mavui, then the Bnei HaMavui can be Ma'akev from the person opening it up. The Gemara makes a Nukim that's talking about Tinokos to Ovdi Kechovim, non-Jewish children. And already the Pasha, the Sugya is Mashra, that they're in fact studying Torah, but it's first in Rabbeinu Gershom that the subject of choice for these non-Jewish children was Mikra. They were learning Torah Shebichsav, so Lachor is Mefurish in Rabbeinu Gershom, but Pashtas, that we, something we would sanction, Be'etzim, having Goyish children learn Torah Shebichsav, the only thing is we can't open it up in a Mavui against the wishes of the dwellers of that area, but Be'etzim, there's no problem in the Etzim opening up of such a place of study. As well, one who wants to be ma'ayin more in the inyan of giving over and having goyim learn different parts of Torah to different degrees and different levels of iyan and havana, ayin in the Me'iri in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes brings several levels of possibilities as to what type of limud is mutter for goyim and what type of limud is forbidden. So to summarize the discussion here, our Gemara is mashma that there was a heter, even an agenda, to give the Divrei Torah, the Sifrei Torah, in the Mizbech and Har Evel to the Umas Olam. The Maratzchis is bothered from the Gemara in Chagiga and the Maratz Sanhedrin, which says that we would not be moster Torah to the Goyim as well. A Goy is prohibited from studying the Torah. Even though it might be true that here there was a Harua Shah, but the Maratzchis and other Chonim draw a distinction between Torah Shebichsav, which our Gemara discussed, and Torah Shebal Peh. We explain that in two ways. One is Alpi, the Midrashim, that say that Hashem was Koreis a special bris with us on Torah Shebal Peh. That's what shows our special connection to Sinai. That's what shows the Kabbalah we had from Moshe, from that he got it directly from Hashem, and that's what's unique for us, and it's not meant to be shared with the Goyim. Hashem Inkein Torah Shebichsav is open for anyone to learn. And the second Mahalach was the Yehudayala, based on the Taz and Orachaim, Simon Mem Zayin, as well as the Vedik and the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's only a Goy Sheosak Batorah. The Goy puts all his Tzumas Lev, all of his Iyun, all of his Das into the Inyan. That's Usher. But to simply read the words of a study, the words of Torah Shebichsav, would not be a problem. As well, quoted Machlokas Nachron, whether the Gemara of a Kama Daf Lamed Ches is a Raya or not to this question of whether Goyim may or may not study Torah Shebichsav. And we quoted a Mefurish Raya to this Chilik that the Achron draw between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh from the Reinu Gershom in Bava Basra, Daf Chav Aleph. Now, in the aforementioned Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Shimon attacked Rabbi Yehuda, that how could he say that they wrote the Torah on the Avonim under the Sid? Because if so, how did the Umas HaOlam during that door read the Divrei Torah that was meant for them? To that, Rabbi Yehuda responded that Hashem gave them a Bina Yisera, and they sent special messengers there to be able to peel off the Sid and see what's underneath and read the Divrei Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, Val davar zeh nischasem gzardinam lever shachas, Shayelam lalamed v'olamdu. The fact that the Torah became known to them by having the messengers go there and see the Divrei Torah under the Sid, and yet still the Umas Olam refused to accept the Torah and fought B'nai Yisrael, that was the chasima of the Gezar Din of the Umas Olam. The Tosus and Divrei Maskel Va'al Dover Zeh contrast this with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which says that even though the Umas Olam refused and declined to accept the Matan Torah at the time of Mamad Har Sinai when it was offered to them, and B'nai Yisrael did, the Umas Olam still have a taina that they can say the reason that they did not accept the Torah is because klum kafis aleinu harkegiges ki Yisrael, that Hashem ki'ilu forced B'nai Yisrael to accept the Torah day being kofalem har Sinai, and the Umas Olam had no such experience. They were not given that kfiyah, and therefore they have in fact a valid taina that they shouldn't be held responsible for not being mekabel the Torah since they weren't forced by kfiyah of harkegiges. Therefore, Tosis asks, how could our Gemara say, in Rabbi Huda's opinion, that because the Umas Olam did not accept what the Torah that they learned from the Avonim in Har Eval was teaching them, that therefore, Nischasim, Gzardinim, Lever Shachas, sorry, they weren't forced, they didn't have this element of coercion that we see in the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, gives them a taina for us, them to say that that's the reason why they did not accept the Torah, and therefore, they can still say, we're not Nischasim, Gzardinim. And Tosis leaves this question as a tzarechi, and why is it that in our Gemara we say that they have a pischon peh, why they were not accepting the Torah even without coercion? Now the Brisker Rav and the Chiyuv Shemir is medayik from Tosis, the fact that he equates our Gemara with the Gemara of the Zohar, which is talking clearly about Hashem offering the entire Torah, at least all of the Tarag mitzvahs, to the Umas Olam. The Tosis understood as well that the point of our Gemara, our Sugya, Lefi Rabbi Huda, the Umas Olam learning the Torah from the Avonim and the Mizbeach, and our sugya also had to do with the entire Torah. However, the Brisker Rav says, based on the Rambam, and we'll see shortly, this is really the opinion of many Rishonim, that that was not at all the point of this Liman HaTorah that was being directed towards the Umas Olam, but rather, all we were trying to do, all the Bnei Yisrael were trying to get them to do by writing the Torah on these Avonim, was to try to get the Umas Olam to be Mekabel Zayin Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Only these Zayin Mitzvot, which the Umas Olam are in fact responsible for in any event, the agenda here was to try to tell them about them by teaching them the Torah, that they should realize that they are responsible for Zayin Mitzvot, and when they refuse to accept even the Zayin Mitzvot, which they are in a very basic, fundamental sense responsible for, then the Rabbi Huda said, Nischasim Gzardinim Lever Shachas, and that's the answer to Tosas Kasha, says the Brisker Rav, it's true, Lagabi Kfiyah on the entire Torah. So then, unless we have a Kfiyah that makes him Mekabel the whole thing, we're not going to hold him responsible. They'll have a Taina that Klum Kavis Olem HaKigigas Ki Yisrael, and you can't Taina, that's why we did not accept the Torah. On the other hand, when it comes to Zayin Mitzvot, which is what our Gemara is talking about, as we'll shortly see at length, so then the Rishonim held that no, there's no problem. Of course, because Umas Olam are expected to keep Zayin Mitzvot even without a coercion, so therefore, the fact that they were taught about the Torah at this stage should have been a reason for them to be mekabel the Zayin Mitzvot in their entirety. And it is also mavur in the Chazon Ish, in his Likutim on Maseches Sota and Ar Sugya, that he understood, like the Brisker Rav notes, that the point of writing the Torah on the Avonim was in order that the Umas Olam should be mekabel the Zayin Mitzvot. Now, by way of introduction to the next topic, the topic of Kriya L'Shalom, which as we'll see is a very lengthy topic with a lot of shittas in the Rishonim, let's first examine the Gemara and the Hemshech. The Gemara quotes the shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says that in fact they wrote the Divrei Torah on top of the Sid, and to accentuate at the bottom of the column, they wrote the Pasuk, which is written in Parashat Shoftim, Perchof, L'man asher l'ilamdu eschem lasos, kol to'avosim asher osu le'eloheim, that the Bnei Yisrael were told to wage war against the Umos of the Zayin Amim in order to make sure that they wouldn't have a tzad of learning from their Maisim Royim and their Avodah Zarah, but rather they would eradicate them. And Rabbi Shimon adds, from this, that if the Umos Olam would get the message and would leave their Maisim Royim and would not give an example of something bad for Bnei Yisrael to learn from, then in fact Bnei Yisrael would be Mekabel the Umas Olam. Now, later in the Gemara, at the bottom, the Gemara quotes the Drasha, in having Parashat Kisetze, in the Parashat Bifas Toar, says there, B'shavisa Shivyo, L'rabos Kenanim Shebechutz L'aretz, She'im Chosrim B'tshuva Mekabel Nasona. The Gemara, the top line in Daf Lamed Vav, says that this follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, you'll notice that there seems to be a discrepancy somewhat in what the Gemara is referring to. Earlier, when the Gemara quoted the Iker Shita of Rabbi Shimon, it says, Shem hayu chazrim b'tshuva, hayu mekabel nasan. It is mashma that any of the Zayin Amim, not only those who lived in Chutz La'aretz, but even those who lived in Eretz Yisrael, but Pashas, the Gemara's mashma, we would have been mekabel them from tshuva. Whereas when the Gemara dashes the parsha of Yifas Torah, there it says, L'rabas Kananim shebechutz la'aretz, implying that the Kananim shebe'eretz Yisrael, even if they would have wanted to do tshuva, we would not have been mekabel them. So as we'll see shortly, this opens the door to a major machlokas Rishonim in the parsha of Kriya L'Shalom, which we'll now discuss at length as a background for understanding our sugya better, and we'll attempt to be miyashev the various shittos in the Rishonim from the rise and questions that each tzad levels at the dissenting opinion. And we'll begin by citing a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban al HaTorah and Parsha Shoftim. The Torah of the Ramban Parsha Shoftim in Perachov gives us the mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom. It says that when we make a melchama against an ear, so we need to be Kari L'Shalom before we actually wage a war against them. Now, the opinion of Rashi seems to be, the Pashtas, and as well as Rashi's is Master and Arsig of this as well, that this mitzvah, being Korei L'Shalom to our opponents who are attempting now to wage war against, only applies to Melchemes Rishus, which means only applies when we're not undertaking a battle against the Zayin Amamin, against the seven nations which inhabited Eretz Canaan, which we had a mitzvah to eradicate and kick out of Eretz Yisrael. About those Zayin Umos, the Torah tells us, L'Sechai Kol Neshama, that we were expected to kill everyone, even the women and children who are not the combatants, also were expected to kill. And it says, Hachrim Tachrimim, that we're expected to completely eradicate them. And Rashi apparently is of the opinion that there's no mitzvah bechlal of Kriya L'Shalom, which devolves upon the yachas of battle to those Zayin Umos. And Rashi supports this opinion by quoting the Sifri over there in Rashi Shoftim, which says that this parsha, which refers to Kriya L'Shalom, to those who we fight against, is only talking about Melchemes Rishos, and apparently not a Melchemes Mitzvah. And this as well is the Mashmos of Rashi in our sugya. When Rashi is explaining in Divrei Ma'asel the Kosvu, that which Rabbi Shimon said, that they wrote the Divrei Torah on top of the Sid, and they accentuated the bottom of the column by writing the pasuk over there in Rashi Shoftim, Lemana Asher Lo Yimdu Eschem Lasos Kechol Agoyim Asher Tzvivoseichem, that there Rashi takes note that pasuk was only said about those who are outside of the Gvul Yisrael, those who are not in Eretz Canaan. And that's because Rashi says the Goyim from the Shivas Amin who weren't found in Eretz Canaan, even if they would make an attempt and would come and tell us that they have expressed an interest to be Mekabel Zayin Mitzvos or to do Tshuva and to be Mizgayer, we would not pay any attention to that superficial commitment. We would assume that it was only done out of fear that they faced imminent death from the battle that we were about to wage against them. And therefore, we would not take it seriously, and we would, in fact, go through with the tzivui that we have of Hachrim Tachrimim. We would, in fact, kill all of the members of the Zayin Amamin, no matter what their sentiments are that now they express they want to be Mekabel Zayin Mitzvos. And therefore, it's quite clear in Rashi, L'cha'oira, that there is no mitzvah Shalom, but rather we simply go ahead and execute the mitzvah of L'schai Kol Neshama. We don't care exactly what the reaction of the Zayin Umos is. The only point of writing the Torah, as Rabbi Shimon said, L'mana Shra L'yimdu Eschem Lasos, was in order that we should send a message to those who are outside of Eretz Yisrael, that those who are outside of Gvul Yisrael, but only the Kananim who are in Chutz La'aretz. That's apparently the Havana of Rashi. And certainly, l'fi this, Rashi has a Havana at the Gemara at the bottom that we quoted, that darshans from the Pasuk of Shavisa Shivyo, L'rabbis Kananim Shebechutz La'aretz, that the Gemara is bedafka. And l'chor, this is a mekor for Rashi, that this entire sugya, that which Rabbi Shimon says would be mekabel b'tshuva, those of the Kananim who wanted to be mekabel as Zayin Mitzvahs, that only referred to those who were in Chutz La'aretz, like the Gemara says, mefirsh at the bottom, and Rashi understood the same thing is true at the top as well, that there is no chance b'pashas of being mekabel b'tshuva, the Zayin Amin who live in Eretz Kanan, only those who live in Chutz La'aretz. There's a big siyuan Rashi from the story of the Giv'onim, which is recorded in Sefer Yehoshua and Perek Tes, that the Giv'onim, who were one of the Umos of the Zayin Amamin who reside in Eretz Canaan, had to resort to trickery, to trick Yehoshua and the Nesiim into thinking that they were in fact inhabitants of a faraway land, that they did not come from Eretz Canaan. Only then were they mekabel them as Avodim into the Klal Yisrael. And later on, when in fact they find out the Giv'onim were from Eretz Canaan, they were very upset and they wanted to kill them, if not for the fact they took a shvur to them saying that they could not kill them, it would be a chil Hashem if they were to be over in that shvur. But be'etzem, there was a great interest in killing them. The L'chora, as the Mefarshim point out, the Giv'onim had expressed an interest to be misguided. They said they were absolving themselves of Avodah Zarah. They were trying to make a commitment to at least in Mekabelzayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and yet still is Mavur that had they not had the Shvuah, which was an impediment to Machmas Echil Hashem, to killing them, then Yeshua and the Nesiim would have had an interest in killing them. So Lachar, this is the Diyak to Rashi, that there is no Mitzvah of Shalom, we don't have any interest at all in trying to convert, or at least trying to reform the Zayin Amend into be Mekabel Zayin Mitzvahs, but rather we go ahead straight to the Mitzvah of Hacharim Tacharim. That's what Pasha is the opinion of Rashi. However, the Ramban is very vehemently opposed to Rashi over there in Ramban and his Pirush to Parsha Shoftim, Perachov. He says it cannot be that Rashi is correct, that there's no mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom at all to any of Zayin mitzvahs. And he brings him a first pasuk in Yehoshua, Perakid Aleph, which is Mavur, that any of the Amen, even of the Zayin Amen of Eretz Canaan, that would have wanted to make Shalom with Bnei Yisrael, would have been able to. And it would have been Mekabel them had anyone made an advance of Shalom. As well, he brings Pesukim in Sefer Malachim as well, that it says that Shlomo utilized the workers from the remnants of Eretz Canaan, those who he was not able to kill, as Mavur L'Chorah, that even though Shlomo L'Chorah was in charge, Shlomo was the king, still he kept them around because they had reached some kind of truce, they had reached some kind of peace agreement with these workers. And Ramban as well quotes the Yerushalmi, which Artosis and Artosigya as well makes reference to, that says that Yeshua, prior to coming into Eretz Yisrael, he sent three different types of messages towards the Umos of Zayin Amen. One was, whoever wants to run away may run away. And in fact, the Am of the Girgashi took this up and ran away and left Eretz Canaan. Whoever wants to make peace may make peace, and they become slaves and servants towards Am Yisrael. And whoever wants to wage war, they will wage war. And L'chor the Ramban says in the first that even though it was directed towards the Zayin Amen, Yeshua did leave the option open for them to make Shalom. So how can Rashi say that there is no mitzvah at all of Kriya L'Shalom with regard to the Zayin Amen, and even if they had wanted to Mekabel Zayin, the Zayin mitzvahs, we would not accept them. Now, as far as the rayas to Rashi, L'chor, as we mentioned, there are three distinct rayas to Rashi's opinion that there is no Kriya L'Shalom on the Zayin Umos. One is the Lashon HaZifri that he quoted, that the Parsha there is discussing Mechames Rishus and not Mechames Mitzvah. Number two is the Diag and Ar Gemara, that Ar Gemara says at the bottom, the two lines from the bottom, that the limud of Shavisa Shivyo is L'Rabos Kananim Shemechutz La'aretz She'im Chozrim B'tshuva Mekablan Osam. Simple implication would be that this option being left open for Kananim to do tshuva is limited only to Kananim Shemechutz La'aretz. As the Gemara makes note, L'cha'ora, Dafka Kananim Shemechutz La'aretz, Mashma, that the Kananim who reside in Eretz Yisrael, there is no option B'chal given of doing tshuva and us be Mekabel them as Avodim if they would be Mekabel with Zayin Mitzvahs. And the third kasha is the story of the Giv'onim, which, as we mentioned, L'chor B'Pasha supports the opinion of Rashi. And the Ramban addresses all of these questions to some degree. We'll try to understand exactly what Ramban means in some of his Mahalchim and to explain where the Nekudas HaMachlokas was between Rashi and the Ramban. We'll start with the first question, the question of how it is that the Sifri said that the Parasha is talking about Mechames Rishus, if in fact Ramban holds as a mitzvah of Kriya on a Mechames Mitzvah. The Ramban there deals with this question. He says that all the Sifri meant that the Parasha is talking about Mechames Rishus is only with regard to how we react in the event that they don't make Shalom. If there is a mitzvah to all umos, anyone who we do melchama with, there's a mitzvah to be kari l'shalom originally and offer them the possibility of becoming our avodim and being mekabel l'zayin mitzvahs. That's all true with regard to the first stage of the war. Once our opponents decide that they're not, our enemies decide that they're not interested in making shalom, then there'll be a difference between mechames rishus and mechames mitzvah. And in fact, the Torah itself is mashma this way. The Torah says that with regard to the shar umos, with regard to mechames rishus, then we only kill the Zecharim, the men who wage war against us, but not the children and the women. However, with regard to the Zayin Umos, the Mechames Mitzvah, the Torah says, Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. Even the women and the children are going to be the targets of our war. That's because the Torah doesn't want any of the Zayin Umos left if they have not made Shalom. And that's what Ramban L'Chorah means. Even though one might have said that the entire parasha is only talking about a Mechames Rishus and not Mechames Mitzvah, Ramban learns now only half of the parasha, only the part which distinguishes how we wage the war is talking about Mechames Rishus and not Mechames Mitzvah. But at the beginning of the parasha, how we approach them by being Kari L'Olam L'Shalom, Ramban is of the opinion that's true for all of the any type of Muhammad that we wage, bein if it's against Shai Umos, and even if it's against the Zayin Amamin. Now, with regard to the second question, that Choretz Meduk and the Gemara at the bottom, that there's dafk an allowance made to Mekabel Tshuva, the Kananim Shebechutz La'aretz, which is L'chor, as we pointed out, where Rashi was coming from, to say that those in Eretz Canaan we would not take seriously, we would assume they're only doing it out of fear, and we only give the allowance of Kabbalah Tshuva to those Kananim who are in Chutz La'aretz. So the Ramban doesn't hedge address this question, but he says, look, the Gemara said mefirsh at the top, as we pointed out, that Rabbi Shimon said, Shem hayi chazir mitshuva hayi makabon asan. And there, when Rabbi Shimon said his ikra drasha from the pasuk, l'man asher le'ilam do eschem lasos, it was mashma that there were no exceptions made. Anyone, even a member of the Zion Amman who was living in Eretz Yisrael, who would express the sentiment of wanting to be makabal, the Zion mitzvah of Bnei Noach, and here the Ramban is mefirsh, as we noted earlier when they quoted the Brisker Rav on Tosfos, that the point over here of writing the Sefer Torah was so that they would be Mekabel the Zayin Mitzvahs. The Ramban says, look, we would accept anyone who would want to do tshuva, who would want to be Mekabel the Zayin Mitzvahs, even if they are of the Shema Amamin. And he says, that's all the pashas of the Pesukim. The Pesukim, this pasuk that the Rabbi Shimon quoted, of L'man Asher L'am Eschem Lasos, the pashas was referring to Zayin Amamin. That's the simple reading of the Pesukim there in Pashas Shoftim. As far as the Gemara at the bottom, which said Chutz La'aretz, Ramban does not address it. L'chor, we can suggest, and I saw a similar mahalach to this in the Minchas Kenos from Rav Meir Arik, the Me'iri. The Me'iri basically learns that the Gemara at the bottom is Lav Dafka, that it's Lav Dafka referring to Kanan Sheb Chutz La'aretz, but it's also referring to Kanan Sheb Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why it would be Lav Dafka, L'chor is quite poshut. Rashi himself says in Divrei Maaskel Hachi Garsina at the bottom, as well as the Tosfos Shantz Kolosus from Rashi, that the Parsha of Yifas Torah is referring to a Mechamas Rishos, is referring to a Mechama that's taking place in Chutz La'aretz. That's a Lashon of Kiseitse La Mechama Aleivecha. That's where the Parsha of Yifas Torah is recorded, that it's talking about a Mechama that we were Yotzei to, that we left the borders of Eretz Yisrael to try to conquer other lands in Chutz La'aretz. And that's the only reason why the Gemara said Kanan Hashem Chutz La'aretz. But Be'etzem, the Halacha, that we Mekabel B'tshuva, any of the Shiva Amamin who would want to be Mekabel Zayin Mitzvahs, even if they live in Eretz Yisrael, would be true as well. That's Ramban held, and that's Rav Meir Arik writes there in the Minchas Kenos, that the Me'iri is Mashma, that the Gemara is Lav Dafka, and the Chor, that would also be a teretz for the Ramban, that we understand the Pesukim, which say, Laman Asher Yilam Do Lasos, is also referring to Zayin Amamin, and the Drasha of the Gemara, of Kananim Shem Chutz La'aretz, it's Lav B'dafka, but it's simply that's what the Parsha of Kiseitse was talking about. But Be'etzem, the idea that Rabbi Shimon is bringing out, that we would be Mekabel B'tshuva, anyone who would want to be Mekabel, the Zayin Mitzvahs refers also to the Zayin Amamin in Eretz Yisrael, not like Rashi understood. In regard to the third question that we raised, the Kasher from the Givonim, so the Ramban over there in Parsha Shoftim addresses this question explicitly. He writes a few mahalchim. He says perhaps the Givonim tried to do this trickery before they received the message of Yeshua Bat Shalom, or perhaps they were fearful and didn't completely trust that Yeshua would really make Shalom with them, and therefore they took a more batuach route, trying to pretend they didn't bechlal come from Eretz Canaan. If you look as well as in the Rambam, in Hilchos Melachim Perek Vav Halachei, he also offers a mahalach for the Givonim, the Me'iri as well. They say that the Givonim are under the impression that Yeshua's offer was only to all the Shiva Amin as a totality. If them as a community together were Mekabel the Zayin Mitzvahs, then they would make Shalom with them. Once some of the battles already took place in Yericho and in Ai, and they saw that some of the Canaanim did not make Shalom, they thought the offer was off the table, and it was not possible for any given family or nation to make peace on their own. And that was not true. The truth is that the Givonim, had they wanted to make Shalom with on their own with Yeshua, would have been enough. And so they didn't know that. That's why they had to trick Yeshua. And Be'etzem, the only reason why they wanted to kill them was because of the trickery that they did, that they tried to avoid making Shalom with Am Yisrael. So that's L'chora, the Mahalchim that the Ramban understood to answer up the rise to Rashi. Let's summarize them quickly. Number one, Rashi brought a rise from the Sifri, and the Ramban was Doche, that the Parsha is talking about Mechamas Rishus is only the part of the Parsha that talks about how we wage the war. Do we kill all of the members of Zayin Amin or only the combatants of the Shar Umos? As far as Ar Gemar, which is Mashma, that only the Kanan Sheb Chutz La'aretz, there is a possibility of Tshuva. There we said Alpi the Me'iri and the Minchas Kenos, that the Ramban will understand it's Lav B'dafka, and the Ikar, like the Gemara said before, that anyone who would be Mekabel the Zayin Mitzvahs would want to do Tshuva. Rabbi Shimon held we'd be Mekabel them. And as far as the question of the Givonim, so there are several Malachim offered in the Rishonim. Either the Givonim jumped the gun before they received the offer of Shalom, or they were mistaken in their impression of what the offer was, or they were fearful of Yeshua, and therefore they did what they did. So that's the opinion of the Ramban, that the mitzvah of Kriya Shalom applies as well to Zayin Amamin, no different Be'etzem than the mitzvah of Kriya Shalom for any of the other Umas Olam. Now, we still need to understand how Rashi deals with the questions of the Ramban. As you mentioned, the Ramban brings Mefurash Psukim in Sefer Yeshua and Sefer Melachim, which tells us that there is an inyan of Kriya Shalom with regard to the Zayin Amin, as well as the Yerushalmi, that the Ramban quoted that Yeshua did send a message before he came to Eretz Yisrael to the Zayin Amin that they had the option of giving Shalom. And these need to understand, how's Rashi going to deal with these Mefurash Arayas from that the Ramban brings, that there is an Indian of Kriya L'Shalom? If you look in Tosis and Arsigya, Iver Masel Rabos, he asks another interesting question. If we are to say, like Rashi seemed to have learned, that there is no possibility at all of making Shalom and being Mekabel B'tshuva, members of the Zayin Amin, how was it that Bnei Yisrael were Mekabel Rachav? Rachav was one of the members of the Amis of the Amin of the Knanim, and yet the Chazal tell us that she was the Tshuva, she was Misgayer, and they were Mekabel her, and in fact, she actually married Yehoshua. How, according to Rashi, can this be understood if there's no option of making Shalom with the Zayin Amin? We have to go straight to the mitzvah of Lo Sechaye Kol Neshama. So the truth is, Tosus says it might be that the Inyan of Rachav was Al-Pi HaDibur. There was a special Harasha given, an exception made for Rachav. But in any event, the other questions stand. How is Rashi going to learn the Psukim and the Midrashi Chazal, which Raman quoted as a very strong rise to his opinion that there is a mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom for the Zayin Amamin? So there is a Mahalach of the Gur Aryeh from the Maral, which he writes in Parashas Chukas and in Parashas Shoftim, as well as the Lecha Mishnah. It is very, very Marech. In Hilchas Molochim, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, they, both of them, advance the following idea. That even though it's true, the Rashi held that by and large, there is no mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom to the Zayin Amin. That's only once they crossed over the Yarden and came into Eretz Canaan. Then, at that point, the mitzvah of Lo Sechaye Kol Neshama and Hachrim Tachrimim was Chal B'nei Yisrael in its full sense, and there's no exceptions made, except perhaps for Rachav, which is Al-Pi HaDibur, but other than that, there was no mercy shown, the mitzvah had to be executed, and there was no possibility of making Shalom, and that's, as we mentioned, why the Givonim had to resort to their trickery. As far as the Psukim that the Ramban quoted, and the Midrashim that said that Yeshua sent messengers, that Lecha Mishnah writes, that was only referring to the time before they came over the Yarden. Before they came over the Yarden, Yeshua sent a message that at that point, in the interim stage before they crossed over the Yarden, then, even according to Rashi, the door was open, the possibility existed for the Umas of Zayin Amin making Shalom. At that point, they could have been Mekabel Zayin Mitzvahs, and then still have been accepted as a peace treaty with Am Yisrael. What's the lumnus? What is the svara for saying that it should make a difference whether or not they had crossed the Yarden or not? So the mashmas of the Lecha Mishnah is that the lumnus is as follows. As we noted, the Mekor for Rashi was the Sifri. The Sifri said that there's a difference in the way the parasha is construed between a Melchemes Rishus and a Melchemes Mitzvah. The Melchemes Rishus, in which we're not fighting the Zayin Amin to get Eretz Canaan, there we have the mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom, we must first offer that possibility of our enemies becoming our avodim and being Mekabel Zayin Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and then we will make Shalom with them. Whereas when it comes to the Zayin Amin, we show no mercy, and we have the mitzvah of Lo Sechaye Kol Neshama. L'chor, the pshat is, that status, that shame of Melchemes Mitzvah is only chal once we came into Eretz Yisrael. Once we were befoyal, starting the kibush, starting the Melchema of Eretz Yisrael, of being kovish befoyal, Eretz Canaan, then the mitzvah of Lo Sechaye Kol Neshama was chal in its fullest sense. There was no exceptions made. But before they crossed the Yarden, l'chor, the lamda says that Melchema only had the status, only had the shame of Melchemes Rishus. Since they hadn't yet begun doing the Melchemes Eretz Yisrael befoyal, it was only in preparation. So at that stage, the Melchema was only referred to as Melchemes Rishus. They only had the din of a Melchemes Rishus. And in Melchemes Rishus, there is a chova. Rashi also agrees. There's a chova to be a Kari L'Shalom. Only once they came into Eretz Yisrael and they were starting the kibush befoyal, then Rashi held it, achieved the status of Melchemes Mitzvah because they're osik in the mitzvah befoyal, and then they lost the mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom. Adrabah, we had the mitzvah of Hachrim Tacharimim to eradicate them in its fullest sense, even the women and children, as you mentioned, without the possibility of tshuva. And Rashi is not alone in this opinion. If we look in the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Vav, we see there machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid about this nekuda. The Rambam of Pashas held, like the Ramban, that the possibility of Kriya L'Shalom has to be given even to the Zayin Umos, and the Rambam is clear that anyone we wage war against, any enemy that we undertake to make battle against, we first must be Kari L'Shalom. But the Ravid in Perek Vav Halacha Hey says no. It's only true with regard to the Zayin Umos before we cross over the Yarden, before we came into Eretz Yisrael. But once we came into over the Yarden and into Eretz Canaan, the Ravid says no. There's no mitzvah b'chlal of Kri L'Shalom to the Zayin Umos. So L'chora, the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, is also similar to the Machlokas, the Ramban and Rashi. The Rambam and the Ramban are of the same opinion, that there is a mitzvah of Kri L'Shalom to the Zayin Amin even once we come into Eretz Canaan, whereas the Ravid and Rashi, they held like the same thing, that the mitzvah shalom is only going to be for the Canaanim and Chutz La'aretz, or the other umos that we wage war against. But the Canaanim Eretz Yisrael, that is a mechametz mitzvah, and that only began once we crossed over the Yarden. Then the mitzvah of Hacher and Tachrimim was chal in its fullest sense, Mashenkin beforehand. Then Yeshua was able to offer shalom to even the Amen of Zion Amen, because they hadn't yet begun the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So it's interesting, the Ramban adds a kashem to Rashi from the Muhammad that Moshe Rabbeinu waged against Sichon Va'og. It's beforeish in Parashas Chukas that Moshe sent Shalom, that he offered Shalom to not wage war against them, but rather they should arrange some kind of peace agreement. The Ramban asks, according to Rashi, Sichon and Og were from the Zayin Amen. How could Moshe Rabbeinu do this, according to Rashi? And there as well, the Maral in the Gemara says, no, because they hadn't yet begun befoil the Kibush of Eretz Canaan. So the Maral says, that's what Rashi felt. There's no problem. There's no question posed in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu offered Shalom to the Sichon Va'og, even though they were from the Zayin Amen, because since they hadn't yet begun befoil the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Lo Sechaikol Neshama didn't yet set in its fullest sense. So again, that's the Machlokas Rashi and Ramban. That's also L'chora, the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Point out, this L'chora is as well Machlokas between the Bali HaTosfos. Tosfos in our sugya writes that there would be the possibility of Yeshua making Shalom even to Zayin Amen, even after they crossed the Yarden, but only before they started doing the Mulchamos. Now, the story that our Gemara is discussing when they wrote the Sefer Torah and the Avonim was before they even began the first Mulchama in Eretz Canaan against Jericho, and they hadn't yet begun the war befoil. There, Tosfos says they didn't yet have the mitzvah Lo Sechaikol Neshama in the fullest sense. They were able to offer Shalom. And that is, even though it's not exactly the same as the Ravid and Rashi, they held that, the Ravid and Rashi held that L'chor, once they crossed over the Yarden, there was no mitzvah to give them Shalom. Farkeret, there was a mitzvah of Lo Sechaikol Neshama. Tosfos held that no, that even once they crossed over the Yarden, until they actually began the battles, there was a possibility of being mekabel the Zayin Amen with Tshuva, and that's a pshat in Rachav. Tosfos says that's how they were mekabel Rachav, because it was before they began the battles. But once they began the battles, Tosfos held, it now has the status of a mechametz mitzvah, and they're not allowed to be mekabel any of the Zayin Amen. However, if you examine Tosfos in Gittin Daf Mem Vav, there he says more similarly to the Rambam and the Ramban, that even after they came in Eretz Yisrael, and they're in the middle of the waging the war, still Yeshua had the mitzvah of being Karel Shalom and being Mekabel, the Zayin Amen, who would want it to be Chozer B'tshuva. The only thing is, Tosfos there adds, L'chora, it's only if they would be Misgayer Legamri, that once they started having wars, it wasn't enough for them to Mekabel Zayin Mitzvahs, but they had to be Misgayer Legamri, and that was the problem with the Givonim. The Givonim, even though they were willing to absolve themselves of Avodah Zarah, they were not willing to be Mekabel Geros, and that was why they had to resort to trickery. So to summarize this major sugi here of Kriya L'Shalom, we see a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban and Parsha Shoftim as to whether or not the Parsha there, which describes the mitzvah of offering peace to anyone we wage war against, is only true with regard to Olchemes Rishus. That's how Rashi learned based on the Sifri. Whereas when it comes to the Mechemes mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael and Zayin Amen, Rashi, Bapash has held there is no mitzvah b'chlal of offering shalom. And Rashi supports himself from the Sifri, as we mentioned, as well as the Pashas of Argamar Debaran that says that Vashavisa Shivya L'Rabbis Kananim Shibachutz La'aretz Shem Chozim Retshuva Mekabel Nosam, the Mashmas being that Kananim in Eretz Yisrael have no option of being Chozim Retshuva. And the story of the Givonim as well supports that which Rashi opinion was. Whereas Ramban said that's not true. There is a full mitzvah being Kari L'Shalom even in L'Chemes Mitzvah. And all this Sifri meant was at the end of the parasha, which talks about how we deal with the war, whether we kill all the non-combatants or only the men. That's the difference between Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah. With regard to our Gemara, the Ramban Ulchora learned that the Gemara earlier in Rabbi Shimon that says, Im Chozim Retshuva Mekabelosan, that's Dafka, that anyone of the Zayin Amen who would want to be Chozim Retshuva, that would be okay, because we don't have the time of leaving Ovdei Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara at the bottom, we proved up here the Meiri is Lav B'Dafka, just that that was a parasha of Kiseitzi was talking about, but really the possibility of Tshuva existed for any of the Zayin Amen, even in Eretz Canaan. As far as the story of the Givonim, so that was the Mahalchim of the Rambam and the Ramban offered, that either they were fearful or they had a misimpression as far as the offer of Yeshua. We discussed how is Rashi going to defend himself and the questions the Ramban asked on him from the Psukim and Yeshua and Malachim, and from the Medrash Mefurish that said that Yeshua sent messengers that they would be Mekabel B'Shalom. We explained up the Lecha Mishnah and the Maharal Negor Aryeh that Rashi held that there was only a status of the Milchema of Eretz Yisrael once they crossed the Yarden, once they were Osik in the Kibush Befoyal. But beforehand, they don't have the status of Milchema Zershos, and then there would be a mitzvah of Kriya L'Shalom, this as well as the Pshat and how Moshe Rabbeinu offered Shalom to Sichon V'og, as we mentioned, the Ramban had asked against Rashi. And we mentioned as well that Ravid L'chori in Hilchas Malachim also holds like Rashi in this regard. And as well, the Machlokas and the Balei Tosfos along similar lines, was there a carte blanche offer of Shalom given to anyone, even during the time of the Muhammad, or was it only until the time when the Muhammad began? That's why Tosfos and Arsugi held, which is similar to Rashi, even though it's not totally on the crossing of the Yarden, but it's totally on the beginning of the Muhammad Befoyal to be called Vesher Yisrael. That's when it had the status of a Muhammad Smith.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.